Hello and welcome to another episode of Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Now today, with the recent wedding of the lovely Harry and Meghan, I wanted to talk about wedding politics. Now, they had their fair share, didn't they? Dad was coming, dad wasn't coming, dad was coming again. And it reminded me actually of my own wedding many, many years ago. And my mother couldn't quite make up her mind whether she was coming, and she was coming, and then she wasn't at the last minute, and then she was. And did I want her to come? And was I making enough fuss when she wasn't coming? And could she go there and my dad not be there? It was absolutely fraught. It was one of those things that I got to the end of it, and you just get to the point where you think, you know, I'm getting married, that's the most important thing, and everything else is an absolute bonus, but getting married was the most important thing. So yeah, I kind of, you know, I and a lot of people feel for what poor old Meghan had to go through before her wedding, but hopefully everything will be just as fine with her and Harry as it has been with me and my lovely husband Steve. Okay, so wedding politics. Now, I wanted to talk to you, this is something that comes up an awful lot, as you can imagine. I wanted to talk to you about a lady called Annie, who I saw, this was a few years ago, and she was getting married, and again she was, you know, she was focusing on the actual relationship. She wanted the wedding to be nice, but she was having so much hassle from her family that she thought she just came along to see me for a few occasions, and we just kind of sorted and talked things through, and it helped her make her decision. And because she was kind of doing it in inverted commas officially, it kind of helped to make people listen. So what was happening was, it was the usual thing. Her parents, especially her mum, was kind of hijacking the wedding. It seems that mum and dad had had a very small registry office affair many years previously, and this was mum's excuse to have the big church all singing and dancing, literally bells and whistles wedding. And it was just getting too much. They were having, one of the things that she said particularly was grating on her was that her mum had invited all the aunts, uncles, which Annie was absolutely fine about, but she'd insisted on inviting all of their children, all of Annie's cousins. And she said she didn't get on with them. She just didn't particularly know. They lived in a different part of the country, so she wasn't that particularly, you know, close to them. But the crux was that the mum was insisting that all the cousins' partners could come along as well. Now, of course, this is racking up not only the expense of what was going on, and one has to keep an eye on the expense, but it was also the amount of people that were going to be there. And though it's your wedding day, you know, Annie was very concerned about wanting to be a good host as well, and making sure that she got to say hello and thank you for coming type thing to as many people as possible. And if all the cousins' partners had come along, that would be just another, I don't know, dozen people, and a dozen people that she just did not know. So that was one of the things. There was the usual kind of interference and arguments and sulks about who was going to be bridesmaid, who was going to be chief bridesmaid, best man. And what had happened was that her fiancé, her now husband, Andy, his mum and dad had split up many years before, quite acrimoniously, because dad had gone off with somebody else, and his dad was insisting that on the top table, the dreaded top table, that his new partner was to be included on the top table, which, you can imagine, it was just a diplomatic nightmare. You had his mum, who didn't have a new partner, that didn't want his dad's new partner to be there. Anyway, it was just endless. And it also, you know, they came up with, you know, traditional top table, and could this new partner of her dad's be potentially put on the end? But no, she would have to be sitting next to him. It was a bit of a nightmare, as you can imagine. And add to that, her best friend, who had got married a couple of years before, but had been a complete bridezilla with it. But because she'd been such a bridezilla, and people had just ended up doing stuff that she'd wanted to, of course she felt it was the wedding of the century, and also it had gone as smoothly as possible because she'd got everything she wanted, and nobody had dared to challenge her about anything. That she was that much of a bridezilla that Annie told me that she'd been a bridesmaid at her place, that even at the very last moment she was trying to tell them what colour underwear they should be wearing underneath their bridesmaids' dresses. So, well, yeah, that just kind of sums it up a little bit, doesn't it? And she said when she went to the venue as well, there was all very fresh paint around, that this venue that was reluctantly hosting her wedding was having to paint everything just before she got there, just to keep her happy. So she had that pressure as well. So what did we do? First of all, we kind of identified And she knew, obviously, Annie knew she had people around her that were supportive and on her side. And her sister was somebody that was, she had one sister, one older sister, and her sister was somebody that was really good at being able to kind of act as her her mitigator, her person in the middle. And she did it with a calm head. She didn't do it. She wasn't fraught about it. She wasn't kind of, you know, getting all steamed up about it. Like, you know, Annie would just kind of get to the end of her tether. And of course, you know, she'd lose her temper a little bit. And then people would say, oh, you know, wedding nerves and all that. But it wasn't. It was just the fact that people were taking over her wedding. So she got her sister to help her. So they would discuss things about, you know, the cousin's partners coming to the wedding. They got to discuss that with the mum, and you know, the sister said, no, this isn't reasonable. The cousins can come, they're more than welcome, but not their new partners, because apparently they were fairly interchangeable as well. You know, they'd have one partner one week and then a new partner the next. So given that, they actually said no, that the cousins' partners weren't to come. There was also a thing about kids, were kids going to be invited? And it was going to be a few kind of, you know, close families' children that were going to be. All the time, mum is emotionally blackmailing, saying, you know, she didn't have a good wedding. This is the first wedding she's, you know, going to have. And she wanted to put her all into it. And then she'd be in tears. And it was a nightmare. But what happened was, with her sister's support, and Andy was doing his best as well, but it kind of had to come from within the family. With her sister's support, she, you know, she stuck to her guns about things, about quite how many bridesmaids there were going to be, and page boys, etc., etc., and how many people were going to be going to be accommodated. She just stuck to her guns. And eventually what happened was that, you know, her mama had to reluctantly kind of give in to what she wanted, because actually that's what Annie wanted. When it came to the Andy, her husband, his father, and the situation with his partner and his mother, in the end, he had to kind of give his dad an ultimatum, saying that we would love you to be on the top table, because that's where the bride and groom's parents are. We would love you, but that we cannot accommodate your new girlfriend. He said it in a much more diplomatic way. And the dad started playing, you know, silly buggers, as you can imagine. I was coming. I'm not coming. I am coming. And, you know, moving. And in the end, they kind of just kind of went, okay, when it comes to the actual place settings, he's going to be on the end. He's not going to be near the groom, as, you know, tradition dictates or anything. He's going to be on the end. And if he comes, he comes. And if he doesn't, it's just one spare place on the end that can easily be taken away. In the end, he did come. He was as proud as punch to be there with his son and supporting him and helping him. And in the end, his girlfriend came and she quite happily sat. I don't think she was the one that had been making the fuss. He'd been making the fuss. And she quite happily sat with a group of relatives, a group of friends or whatever, that she didn't particularly know, but had got on quite fine. And also, that was another thing, that people on that table had been primed, if you like, to kind of make sure that they looked after and welcomed her. And she found, you know, it went fine, because all the time he was looking to make sure she wasn't just sitting there not talking to anybody. They had people specifically making sure that she was okay, and if she was okay, he was okay, and then if he was okay, that kind of made Andy more okay. It's ridiculous that the things that you have to go through, but sometimes you do, to make it okay. Traditional wedding things, there'll always be people there that have to be kept apart from each other. So you know, if this is happening in anything that's coming up for you, make sure that you have people there that can act as chaperones, if you like, that, you know, your good friends, relatives, people that you can trust, to say, listen, can you keep person B away from person A, and while you're at it, away from everybody else. Sometimes it gets like that. Make sure so-and-so doesn't have too much to drink. If they do have too much to drink, can you make sure that you shepherd them outside or to a side table, or whatever it is. But have those people that are willing to take on those roles for you. And when it comes to weddings, you know, quite often friends are the best, because kind of family tend to get kind of sucked into the whole thing, but friends can be kind of quite good. Keep an eye on the future, because you remember, a wedding is just the day, the marriage is the lifetime thing. I know it's a bit trite to say it, but do keep an eye on the future, even if it's going completely wrong and nothing's quite working, and they, you know, everything just goes wrong, you know, which, you know, there's always going to be something good at a wedding. just remember, it's not just about the wedding. You will get over it. It will become a memory. And what's, you know, shocking and terrible then on that day and annoying will be probably something you get to laugh about in a few years' time. It will be something that you can entertain each other with, you know, quite how bad something got, but actually quite how good your relationship is about it. And just, you know, just keep an eye on that, because you can get so focused on a wedding, you know, and this is where the term bridezilla, groomzilla, mumzilla, in rare cases, but I'm sure dadzillas, this is where these terms come from, because people get just so carried away with their own role in it and how it looks, you know, what's going on for them. So this is just, I just wanted to do one about a podcast about wedding politics, because obviously it's wedding season coming up, and hopefully all, you know, it'll all go swimmingly for absolutely everybody, but let's be realistic and know that it's probably not, but it's manageable, and just have the support. That's the most important thing. And just as a little aside as well, if you know, sometimes, even though they don't want to kind of be dragged into it, you know, the people that are actually taking the ceremony can be really useful. You have wedding coordinators, you have ministers, you have vicars, and sometimes they can be the good people to get in there and act as mediators as well. You know, that's part of their job. I have been Dr. Jane. You've been listening to a 10-minute positive mental health podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you go to drjane.co.uk/podcasts, there's a whole library there. There's all sorts of things that I think you'll find relevant either for yourself or for other people. And whilst you're there, why not subscribe? And then you'll never miss another episode of Dr. Jane's 10-minute positive mental health podcasts. I will speak to you again very, very soon.